and not keyboard tapping.
Don't.
Or Brita hanging up.
Uh-oh.
Do I get to say hello to the internet now?
If you want.
Is there an internet to say hello to?
There will be.
Thanks to Al Gore.
Yeah.
That's right. I think there was something like there was an official like birthday of the internet like just recently.
Well, Tim Berners-Lee, the guy that invented the World Wide Web, is extremely disappointed in it. It is not turning out like he envisioned.
What did he envision?
Who the fuck knows? He had some sort of ivory tower elite bullshit view of,
If he thought it would be anything other than porn.
I was just about to say, I have access to like the greatest porn collection of all times, and I share it with everybody else, and we're all fine with that.
Every human advance comes from pornography.
Damn near, yeah.
But cave drawings, porn. Yeah. Renaissance art, porn.
Yep.
The VCR, porn. Internet, porn.
Yep.
It's all about watching naked pictures.
Even like Super 8 movies back in the day. Super 8 movies was, porn.
Yep.
Don't forget goddess sculptures.
That's right. Oh, yep. Yeah. Yeah. What is that? The
Michelangelo.
I was thinking about the one.
Michelangelo was gay porn.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, that was gay porn.
That's part of porn.
Brita, what's the one, the very famous figurine that's very voluptuous? Was it the Venus of something or other?
Willendorf,
yes.
The Venus of Hodor?
Willendorf. What? The famous, 40,000 some odd year old,
Well, there has been a new theory put forward that all of those fertility figures that they're finding, all the Stone Age ones with the big boobs and the big butts and the big bellies and the big girl bits, were done by women.
That was what my anthropology professor said.
That it was kind of like celebrating the mystery of being pregnant and giving birth.
I've also heard how your body changes. They're more of self-portraits too, and the fact that that was her explanation. I'm not saying I buy it for a second. I think the
you're sticking with the porn. Yeah,
I mean Occam's razor for Christ's sake. but
people have not changed that much. It's
yeah, but the overall idea being that if you are pregnant as fuck and just kind of sitting around and waiting for it all to happen. And you look down and you're just going to see gigantic tits and gigantic belly. Cause those are it's forced perspective. You look around the back and there's your ass.
Yeah. I do that all the time.
I do it all the time to you. It's not that gigantic either.
What, yours? No.
Mine?
Yeah, yours is not.
I've got a non-existent ass. Thank you very much.
White boy booty.
I feel some serious white boy booty.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. I don't have your African-American badonkadonk.
Okay, then.
Alrighty, then.
Can I
segue? I've actually got a decent segue.
Oh,
this is about my badonkadonk?
We're talking about the internet.
Oh, okay.
Of course, we've all heard that Trump is planning on defunding vast swaths of government because he said he wouldn't in his campaign. And I'll be goddamn first politician ever to be like, if I'm elected, I will do this. And then he's fucking doing it.
I know. Oh, it's amazing.
It's fucking eerie is what it is. But one of the things he's planning on defunding is like PBS. And I hope to God, because I think did Bush plan it? No, it was Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was talking about defunding NPR and PBS.
Reagan talked about doing it.
Well, yeah. Yes, but I'm going very, very recent history just for the sake of argument is that, especially also with this whole internet thing, is I believe it was Romney, wasn't it? Where Romney wants to kill Big Bird?
Yes.
Yeah. There was all this.
Romney wanted to eat Big Bird.
Yeah, well, I would too.
Kinky.
Kinky Mormons.
If I wasn't concerned that he was 90% foam rubber on the inside, I thought there was some dark meat on those legs.
And 10% long pig.
Big, yeah, big yellow God. Bird, them's good eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, the size of the oysters on the back of that.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they got to be big.
But yeah, so, but there was this, all these campaigns of the Mitt Romney wants to kill Big Bird and, you know, wants to get rid of Big Bird. And I hope to God, and this, I'm not going to ask anyone to take the bet because I'm just going to take their fucking money to try to bet against me on this, because let's face it, the Democrats are still claiming that Hillary Clinton was a decent candidate. And that's the reason why they lost was like sunspots and
Russians, and, yeah,
Russians and sunspots and the heartbreak of psoriasis, anything but, you know, a corrupt, sick, ill, twisted human being who's just wide open, hungry for power, running, and people go, I don't trust that shit. Yeah. But I hope to God that these backwards people that do not learn from their mistakes do exactly what they did for Mitt Romney and point out, like, oh, Donald Trump's going to defund PBS. He's going to kill Big Bird. He's taking Big Bird away from our kids.
Aren't they on HBO now?
Exactly. My daughter watches Sesame Street, not as often as I'd like, because it's a great show. I love Sesame Street. She watches Sesame Street, and she watches it one of two ways. She watches it at my parents' house, because my parents have cable still, on HBO. And again, note that cable now is essentially Netflix. Like, I don't know if my dad ever watches anything that's on, you know, with the exception of maybe like, you know, live news and sports. Other than that, like when he wants to watch a movie on HBO, he goes on the HBO whatever and looks up the movie and presses play and the movie shows up.
Oh, I didn't realize that that's the way to
Oh, yeah. Know. All cable is now all like, they still have the pay-per-view thing, which is probably, I don't know, when was the last time you had cable, Brita?
Oh,
that ages ago?
20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So you got it even before like any of the TiVo shit started showing up.
I got married like 16 years ago and we didn't get cable. So it was like at least that long ago.
Yeah. We had friends with cable for a long time, but yeah, it's one of those, like we'd go over and watch a new release on pay-per-view where, you know, they'd get docked like $4 and we'd get to watch the movie a little earlier. But now it's switched over that, yes, you can still essentially pay-per-view watch certain things, mm-hmm. but you can watch, they just about everything, like every movie HBO is currently broadcasting is on demand. Hmm. So it's just like Netflix. But again, the other thing is my daughter watches all the PBS shows either on Netflix, on the PBS website, which could easily be monetized, or on Amazon. Amazon Prime has got all of Sesame Street.
Oh.
So again, I mean, first up, like the idea that there's such a thing as like as PBS and people immediately diving in. No one's saying Donald Trump wants to kill the McLaren News Hour. Because nobody watches that shit.
Yeah.
And you know, or any of the other like turning on, like, I mean, I remember as a kid, like I knew the station, you know, I knew what stations were the things that I wanted, but I also knew as soon as I learned how to tell time, I knew that I didn't turn to those stations when what I wanted wasn't on. Because I remember it was after one of my shows, like the McLaren News Hour turned on, like there was an after school, it was like 3-2-1 Contact or one of those. And I'd be watching that and then it would end, but I wouldn't turn the TV off right away. And then McLaren News Hour would come on and be like, what is this shit? This is awful. Like, I mean, even as a kid who wasn't interested in the news, still got that it looked like someone's public access station.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, but like Big Bird and Downton Abbey could fund everything in there.
Oh, like, yeah. And all also, on their own.
Is Downton Abbey on that, PBS?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. You got to remember of course they are making money off of, like, Sesame Street toys and Sesame Street clothing and Sesame Street whatever and whatever. I don't know. I think Downton Abbey has, like, the whole, like, you know.
There's the sex dolls.
Right.
What? Are there Downton Abbey sex dolls?
No. Well, probably.
It should be.
Googling.
Probably. Oh, God, there probably are. This is the internet, after all.
Wait.
I'm
taking target of opportunity. Downton Abbey sex tape was the autocomplete.
Oh, nice.
It's probably just an actress, though.
It's one of the actresses. Ooh. She looks dishy. God. Let me, I need to do further research.
Well, I don't know if PBS is making money off of those.
Is it PBS supposed to be a nonprofit?
Yeah, PBS is making no money off of it because they're cute. Yeah, they're cute little tax shelter and licking off the government teat.
And don't they pay their executives like way more money than they probably should? I mean,
guaranteed.
It's like the whole place is rife with feather.
I know for a fact that they annoy the fuck out of you with their stupid little guilt trippy telethons.
Oh yeah,
and those make absolutely no money.
Right.
Like I know.
After they pay the expenses of the telethon, there's nothing. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like the NRA with their fundraising, right? They spend $20 million on fundraising and make, you know, 21.
But yeah, they make almost nothing. It's all of us who no longer even have means to watch PBS are paying for PBS.
That shit's the stop. And you know, along that same lines, they were talking about cutting the Department of Agriculture 20%, which turns out to be $5 billion. So that means the Department of Agriculture's budget is $25 billion. What the fuck does the Department of Agriculture do with $25 billion?
Subsidies.
Somebody's got to buy a million rounds of 40 Smith and Wesson Hollow Points.
You can build. I think I did the math. You can build like 12 submarines or 4 aircraft carriers for what the Department of Agriculture goes through in one stinking year.
Yes, but how much would it cost to take one of those aircraft carriers and plant crops on the deck?
Well, but we don't need subsidies and crap like that in agriculture. This is bullshit. All that crap needs to end.
I mean, that's where it all goes. I mean, look at the huge boondoggle that is them putting fucking ethanol in all of our gasoline. Oh, yeah,
that needs to end too. The ethanol mandate, that shit needs to end. Oh,
God, I remember
bring
back
when I could get real gas.
Yeah, I remember back when I could. Can you get real gas in Texas?
Some places.
Because it was one of those in Maine. It used to be like I would go out of my way to one of the. I wouldn't even care. Like I remember I would look at the price tag at this gas station and go, oh, that's a little steep. I could probably get it cheaper someplace else, but I can't get it cheaper with real gas. And right. I would always fill up at this gas station in Maine because they had real gas for the longest time. And then now they have the 10% shit.
Yeah. When I used to drive to Louisiana all the time, there was a little hole in the wall gas station, outside of, Lake Charles that had real gas. And I'd always pull in there and see instant mile per gallon improvement, you know?
Oh, tremendous.
Like an extra 5 miles a gallon, just boom. Like
I think I told everyone, like, so I had a 2001 Ranger and that thing had.
But Yogi.
What?
But Yogi, the Ranger isn't going to like this.
Oh,
she gets, there used to be a show called Yogi Bear.
So by the way, there's a, on my walk to work, there is a Honda Ridgeline, and it's got the license plate that says Ranger. It also has other bumper stickers on the back to make me think that when the man who drives it is in uniform, he wears Ranger tabs.
Ah.
But And I've actually seen him. And
it's not a Honda Ridgeline that identifies as a Ford Ranger.
That's the joke I have is like, I've seen the guy a couple of times getting into his car and I've been tempted to do the joke, but I always want to go, hey man, it's a Ridgeline, not a Ranger. Okay. But this Ranger had a shitty fuel gauge or a fuel float. I don't know what part was broken, but essentially it read when it was all the way full, it read right. But as soon as it got about to like 3/4 of a tank, it started reading low.
Ah, reading low is better than reading not high.
Oh, exactly. Well, that's the big thing was, I mean, the mileage was good and perfect enough that I would just push the little tripometer button every time I filled up my tank. And I knew I could get 330 miles or so out of one tank. And so the thing would, you know, the thing would drop into the E and I'd keep driving. And then the, you know, the fuel light would turn on, which is supposed to turn on when I think there's like 1 gallon or 1.5 gallons left in the tank. And it was more like 5 or 4. It was a lot. Like I remember filling the tank all the way up to the top and going, what? I mean, that's a 20 gallon tank and I only put 15 in and I was supposed to be running on fumes when I pulled in here. No, that ain't right. But I realized that if I pushed it as far as it should go doing the mileage calculations, I will make it no matter what, even though it may say I'm going to run out of gas any minute now. If it said I had more, if I had more miles on the clock, I had more miles on the clock until I moved to Massachusetts. And I had just driven past a gas station that was too expensive. I was going to fill up there and I saw the price. I went, nah, there's a few miles up the road. There's a gas station that's cheaper. And I, according to my tripometer, I had enough gas in the tank to get me there. And then I didn't. But again, and it was because I was suddenly going from using real gas to the E90.
Whoops.
Or the E10. I don't. Which is it? It's 10% ethanol E10.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's awful. I hate it.
And then, Trump's budget is he's cutting a lot of shit. You know, the EPA gets cut and they're all like double digit percentage cuts. I mean, huge.
So they're real cuts. They're just, yes. It's not that they're getting less of an increase.
Right. They're actually actual real cuts. Now the Republicans have a problem because, you know, for all this time they've been, smaller government, you need smaller government. And now, but it never managed to happen. And they always had an excuse, right? Yeah. So now you've got the president who's presenting a budget that seriously cuts the hell out of things. And now the Republicans have to put up or shut up.
And the media and Democrats, but I repeat myself, are calling Trump a fascist.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascists don't make government smaller. That's not how this works.
Well, to them, fascist means whoever they disagree with.
Yeah, I don't like you, fascist.
fascist is the equivalent of asshole. I am not calling you a circular muscle ring that keeps poop out. No, I'm saying I don't like you. Fascist just means I don't like you.
And one of the other things they want to cut is what the NEA.
Well, I was going to also mention that the president's budget wants to eliminate federal library funding.
Oh, wait a minute, too far.
I'm okay with that.
That he wants to eliminate the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which is the source of all federal funding for all the libraries in the country. And of course, you know, I think about it. I'm like, okay, that's like my job, you know. But we don't really get that much federal funding. We get a lot of state funding. However, the grants that the federal government provide to libraries. It's for things like things that libraries aren't supposed to do, like
tax forms.
Well, stuff like that. I mean, you know, veterans transitioning to civilian life, resume writing and job skills workshops. You know, all these sorts of, like, you know, helping homeless people get back on their feet. You know, it, these are all things that social services for this sort of thing already exist. There are agencies that will do this.
Sure.
And those people get paid to do this. However, librarians are expected to do it for free. You know, we do all sorts of things that in the past librarians never had to do. And it's, you know, it's because, oh, nobody reads anymore. So you got to make the, you have to make libraries relevant, and you have to, you know, keep the communities engaged and offer them things they want, which, what did we just add? Video games.
Oh, lovely.
You know, it's like, and I don't believe that those were from federal funding at all, but I'm just saying that's the type of thing where it's like, well, let's keep the libraries relevant. And I don't know. It just, I'm conflicted about it. I know that libraries are important, but I also see the major waste that goes on in public libraries. And I don't want to say misuse of funds, but it's kind of like libraries are going on in the wrong direction. And I often compare it to how, like, the modern Catholic Church started becoming like guitar mass, and it's, you know, all touchy feely now, and they're rethinking the rules on certain things, and meanwhile attendance at Catholic churches are going in the shitter, and more evangelical and traditional and I don't want to say extremist, that's the wrong word,
pious would be a good,
yeah,
pious would
those,
be a good word,
those type of churches are on the rise because they stick to, you know, tradition. I think that might be part of why American libraries now are kind of like struggling to remain relevant. And it's like the guitar mass libraries. It's like you're offering stuff to people who want video games and DVDs. Oh my God, you should see the DVDs that go get checked out. I just started working in CIRC. I'm picking up a few hours here and there in the circulation department just to learn new skills and to do something new and have some extra money. And people will come up, and I am not exaggerating, they will check out like 30 DVDs at one time. I'm not exaggerating.
What the fuck?
They don't have a limit?
No, we don't have a limit.
Well, I thought, like, can't you only check out a certain number of books at one time?
I think it's like 100 items. You're allowed to have 100 items on your card.
Good Lord.
And people will come in and we have like, if you go to the grocery store and you have those baskets instead of the buggies.
Yeah.
Right? You have the little basket. People will come up and they will put like 4 baskets full on the counter to check out.
What the fuck are they doing with all of them?
They apparently sit at home and watch a lot of DVDs.
Yeah, I mean that's clearly a welfare mama right there.
Yeah,
and a welfare mama or a housewife with no kids.
Right. Oh no, she has kids, but most of them have kids. Most of them, like, you know, get the kids DVDs and then they get the adult DVDs. But yeah, and it's that sort of thing. It's like,
oh Jesus!
And I don't want to say that.
So what you're saying is she's parenting children by TV. Adorable.
Oh, I'm sure. Ugh. But you have to think about, like, just generally, like, is that what we want our libraries to be?
No.
Well, people aren't reading anymore.
Then shut them down or something.
My daughter is. My daughter demanded that we renew our due copy of Everyone Loves Bacon. Have you read it yet, Brita?
I have not. I don't actually. It's not in our library system.
Oh wow! Not even in the system.
No, I'm not going to buy it either.
I think we're going to.
You need to have your own copy.
I think so.
Well, everyone does love bacon.
Yeah, it's a pretty good kids book, and my daughter loves it, and so much that we turned in, we brought in 5 books, and that was the one that needed to come back with us.
Wow.
And she had a piece of candy in her pocket that I told her she couldn't eat until after we were done at the library, because the librarians aren't gonna be a huge fan of a little girl sucking on a hard candy in the library.
Sticky fingers everywhere.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's the story of my fucking life. But so literally by the way, the librarians today are normally on the ball, totally fucking off. And there was just this huge pile of books on the return side. And my daughter just pawed through them and pulled out four books that she says, "Nope, I want this one, this one, and this one." And so I just gave it to her and I said, "All right, cool. I don't know if these have been checked back in yet, but they need to come out with us."
They'll and figure
so
it out.
She did that. Well, except for we set off the alarm when we left.
Oh, we don't have an alarm.
Yeah. But good. Maybe someone will steal.
But you have to understand with library funding. I wanted to mention this with library funding. People don't realize this. And people complain about like DVDs and video games and all sorts of you hear stories about libraries like circulating cake pans. And we circulated umbrellas there for a while, which they all disappeared. Surprise, surprise. But libraries will circulate like all sorts of weird shit. And you're like, what is, and libraries like, well, we like to make things available to the people, like, you know, maybe somebody doesn't want to buy a cake pan. They can come in and borrow ours and blah, blah, blah. And okay. Libraries have lots of excuses for spending money. And the reason why they do it is because of circulation. The more things a library circulates, it doesn't matter what it is, apparently, the more money they will get. So that's why you see libraries spending money on things like DVDs and video games and cake pans and whatever the fuck else. It's because if they circulate, the library will get more money.
Oh, how beat the fuck are those cake pans?
I know. I wouldn't want
to. Because I got to imagine you burn the shit out of your cake. Because, of course, also, like, if you're borrowing a cake pan from the library, you are not a good cook. You do not know how to cook. You are literally going to pour the contents from, like, a Duncan Hines box into that cake pan. And then you are going to put on one of your 16 DVDs and you're going to shoot up and pass out on the couch and wake up after the fire alarm's been going for 15 minutes straight.
I'm sure there's fines though, like for cake pans. There's special fines for the cake pans.
Oh, I'm sure there's all sorts of burned on shit.
You know, I had this originally, I had like this whole thing that I wanted to talk about with the NEA, and I have to premise this by, I had this thought. It struck me while I was really drunk. So it may or may not make sense now, but it really made sense then.
I'm on board.
Okay. So cool. I can't remember what we were watching on TV, but I was really drunk when I thought it. And it was kind of brilliant. And I thought, wow, this is brilliant. I got to remember I thought this. And then I couldn't remember it the next day. Big like, shit.
Story of my life.
And I
so then you got drunk again to recall it?
No. I had to ask Mike, and I was like, because I was like kind of drunk and I was kind of sleepy and I had this thought, you know, and as Mike had to fill me in, I was like, I thought something last night. It was really great and kind of smart. And what was it? Damn it. You know, but so here's was my thought. So with the NEA, it kind of ties in this whole NEA thing back when celebrities started happening. Okay, like I'm going to say turn of the century, when celebrity started becoming a thing, you know, known celebrities, like you're in the news, you're in the media somehow, one way or another, you are a celebrity. A great group of celebrities were artists.
Right.
I mean, you can go back to like the early 60s and go to Life magazine and see big spreads on like Picasso and Jackson Pollock. And they were like celebrities at the time. Andy Warhol, big celebrity, right? But huge I celebrity. Started thinking like, and then the NEA happened. And Oh, I remember what we were watching. We were watching a chef show, like a show about like a chef and how chefs today are the celebrities. Mm-hmm. You know, they have all these like, you know, the chef's table and the mind of a chef and Anthony Bourdain and Gordon Ramsay. They're like celebrities now. And I was comparing, like, they're like the artist celebrities of back then. And the reason why is because it's free market. These people had to like, scrape by and work hard and come to the top of their game on their own. Unlike artists today that, you know, get NEA funding and they can make whatever piss Christ bullshit artwork they want. I remember I saw in a magazine that I was appalled. There was a woman who covered a Volkswagen Beetle with leather and she called it art. And she named it Boy because she liked the round sound of the word. Ugh. And she got federal funding to do that. And I was, you know, like appalled at that. I'm like, that's not art. You take a car and you cover it with leather and it doesn't make any sense. It's not art. And I was thinking that's probably why so many people today, number one, don't know any artists, don't care about art, and look to, you know, art of the past as true art.
Or you do know an artist and you know that they're just a slack job fucking freak just doing this weird subversive crazy shit.
Right.
Because there's two types of art. There's the art that someone I went to college with, his dad was a extremely famous artist in Maine. And he he passed away. I wish I'd gotten a chance to meet him and talk to him a little bit and figure out exactly how he did it. But I think he mostly did like historical pictures of extant areas. Like he would do like the Portland seaport, but in, 1830.
Hmm.
And so you would see, I mean, obviously you probably would paint it from where it was, but also go off of historical documents to get, to get the information on what it might've looked like. And he made a solid living off of it, but he made a solid living off of, essentially he would be, things would be getting real poor and real tight. And then all of a sudden a doctor would open, a doctor would come into town and open up a new practice and he would need art.
Need work for the wall.
He would need art for that. Or someone would build a mansion and would need art for the mansion. And then suddenly he would get these huge commissions and then, paint a whole bunch of paintings or sell a whole bunch of things.
See, but let me ask you this. Did he do that work for sale and then work for himself that didn't sell? Or
I think that's just what he did.
Yeah.
I'll just say I've probably given it away enough for people wanting to do research, but who cares? He was a pretty serious alcoholic, so I think pretty much he painted what sold until noon rolled around.
Oh, okay.
And then would get blackout drunk.
As you do.
But yeah, but still you've got that of the people making stuff that is pretty, making stuff that's interesting, making stuff that people want to buy.
Right.
Oh, and man, that's commercial. They hate that shit.
Exactly.
And then there's,
all this stuff. Like there's this, that painting that keeps getting in and out of the fucking, the Senate or wherever of the anthropomorphic pigs beating the shit out of the black boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, yeah, by the way, is like third grade level art style.
Yeah, it's really shitty. I saw it. I was like, oh, okay.
It's a really shitty painting, but yeah, it's cops as pigs beating up a black kid. The only reason why people want that is, I want to stand up against the cops being pigs. And so I'm going to, it's not like it's in a private collection. It's not like someone's buying it out. I mean, I'm sure like Spike Lee would buy it if it went off on there, but that's all, that's all to prove how social justice I am.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but in 2009, there was a big controversy with the NEA also, because Andrew this was a Breitbart thing where apparently this phone call had gotten recorded that the communications director of the NEA was in on this phone call that was kind of directing artists to promote Obama's domestic agenda. Like, there was this big phone call about, here's a quote from it. It says, "This is just the beginning. This is the first telephone call of a brand new conversation. We're just now learning how to really bring this community to get together to speak with the government. What that looks like legally." So they were trying to find a way to work the NEA into, you know, promoting agendas for the government.
Well, why wouldn't you? They work for.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? Yeah,
That's the whole reason behind this whole, like, you know, falsified climate change data. It's sure. not. It's not.
But we're paying for it. It's not like as sinister as many people say. They don't want to.
Yeah, it is. It is literally just the, you are working in an industry where there is very little money to have. And again, you're either an artist that paints really, really beautiful pictures, or you can design the new Snickers logo, or you're a dope smoking teen that can make an agenda that sticks a thumb in the eye of the opponents of the people who hold the purse strings.
Or you could build a clock.
Well, that's
You could take a clock apart and
put the you couldn't see that I was making air quotes around build.
Okay. But again,
was it art?
Well, it was never that was not done for art. That was that was done because daddy had a lawyer in the chamber and the hammer cocked.
It's performance art.
That was literally, son, take this, go to school, be as obnoxious as possible, and document everything you have, because guess what? You're going to get a scholarship.
So if the NEA goes away, does that mean mm-hmm. we don't get any more bullshit sculptures like a giant cube sitting in the yard and somebody going, oh, yes, this is my masterpiece.
Hey, 4x8 sheet of plywood painted yellow?
Yeah.
That was my favorite one, although I think Brita actually explained why it was art. Or maybe it was blue.
Well, I mean, if somebody...
It was a sheet of plywood and it was painted a color.
I still like the one. At least there's some effort involved, but the person who goes out to the junkyard, buys a bunch of fucking shit, and then just gets high and goes completely nuts with an arc welder.
I mean, if somebody says it's art, then it's art. I mean, it can be really bad art. Or you cannot like it, but that doesn't mean it's not.
But
art.
Yes, but if the person who says it's art is the government spending not their money.
Yeah, that's a problem.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's... See also Jackson Pollock being propped up by the CIA.
Well, yeah, there was that. There was that whole thing.
So yeah, that's the interesting thing is, yeah, you were talking about Pablo Picasso and Andy Warhol and being huge celebrities, but Jackson Pollock. Yeah, no, he was a scam artist, but he was the precursor to the NEA, except it was the CIA going propping up these new abstract artists to shirk the commies.
Well, it doesn't mean that they weren't making art.
No, they were. They were artists in their own right, but they just were being used by
Jackson Pollock. CIA.
Well, you got to
or not like Pollock, but.
The thing about Pollock and the other artists like that is that was the one modern art is the one art form that the Soviets could not embrace for political reasons, because it was the art of the decadent West. And so anything, you know, at that point it becomes, you know, a Cold War PR tool, you know, here we're going to parade this art around. And throw it in your face, you know.
Was Pollock actually paid by the CIA?
Yes.
I don't know if he was. Pollock
was paid by the CIA, and his paintings were placed in public museums by the CIA.
I don't know if he knew that he was, though. That's the thing.
He may not have known.
CIA spoofs floated pioneering artists, so he may have not even known.
He may not have known. I think that it may have been like people upon people upon people, and there might have been like some directors at like the you know Museum of Modern Art or Metropolitan Museum of Art somewhere that was you put this painting there.
Oh, here do it is. Not it tell says. Says the CIA dumped millions upon millions of dollars to be secret patrons of art world darlings like Pollock. Fake foundations used as CIA slush funds sponsored international exhibitions. That's pretty interesting.
Yep.
We should make a movie about that.
But it can make. But you could then make the argument that because Pollock was getting so lavishly funded by these other artists that it drove more eyes than he ever deserved to it.
Oh, probably. That's probably right.
Yeah. I'm going to say anyone who puts cigarettes out on his art and does not remove them before selling them is not someone who's an artist. That's a con artist. So yes,
he was an artist.
He was an artist, but he was the artist of the confidence scheme, not as a painter.
I love that story. It was just recent, I think, that somebody had left their glasses on the floor of.
Oh yeah, that was great.
In a gallery of an art museum, and I guess people started taking photographs of the glasses and the. Maintenance men would like sweep around the glasses because people thought it was an art piece.
Yeah.
But that also raises the question, like you could sneak your art into a museum.
Oh yeah.
It's a good thing. Nobody took a shit.
They're not,
on the floor.
They're not there to keep you from bringing art in. They're there to keep you from bringing it out.
Yeah. Well, then there was that art thing, which I'm going to say, I saw the piece and I get it. But it was this like brightly colored raccoon climbing into a garbage can filled with trash. And one of the custodians for the museum dumped the fucking trash out.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
That at least is a piece that made sense. That was a piece that made sense. I wouldn't necessarily want that piece of shit in my living room, but I get it. That was at least art that I get.
Who is the one, Brita? Who is the one that when we start thinking about stuff like this, weird artworks like this, the one I always think of is The Fountain by Marcel Duchamp.
Yeah, it's not a fountain, it's a urinal.
Yeah, but that's what he called it, The Fountain.
Yeah,
and it's a urinal with like
arms. He thought it was funny.
Yeah, but
it was not his work.
No, it wasn't.
It was a woman's work.
Yeah,
I can't remember her name, but she was also like one of those like, oh man, now I'm not going to be able to.
It was. Look I got it up the, in time. I got the thing. I got the wiki open. Louise Norton. Baroness Elsa von Freytag.
yeah.
But the thing that is funny is it was in an exhibition or something like that, and artist,
and they didn't know what to do with it because it was like it was clearly like, oh god, it's a urinal, what do we do?
Right. And then who was it that dropped it and broke it and was like, oops.
So somebody solved the problem by dropping it.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the artist that dropped it though. It was a famous guy. And he like picked it up and they were looking at it and he kind of went like, you know, on purpose, accidentally dropped it and went, oh, look, it broke. Oh,
problem solved.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How awful.
Well, I'll just say the people that have the grilled cheese sandwich that have Jesus's face on them.
That shit's real, man. That shit's real.
They don't need the NEA to help them out.
Okay. I found it. It's Eve Klein, Blue Monochrome, 1961.
Thank you, Jay.
What?
That's the plywood.
Literally a blue rectangle.
Oh, yeah.
A blue rectangle.
Well.
And this, of course, leads into, like, I remember Piss Christ and... the whatever that the one that was like the Virgin Mary in piles of elephant shit.
Yes.
And all that. I remember like having like art teachers like go on these like long, outrageous explanations on on how to, you know, on how it really was art and all the inner meaning and all of that. Is one of those like, you're full of shit.
Stieglitz, Alan.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's the one.
Stieglitz that dropped it or threw it in the trash or yeah. something.
That's a great story.
He was offended by it, offended to the point where he's like, this isn't art. He just went to the thing and he bought the thing and it's not art. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like he made the urinal. He bought it at a hardware store. And it's yeah. It's
Chris Ofili is the artist behind the Holy Virgin Mary.
In the elephant dung.
The part of reference librarian is played by me.
All right. Good job.
I'm off the clock.
Good job. So that's
right. Breeze off the clock. Reedy, you got to talk about guns now.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's role reversal.
Wow.
What?
Dead air.
No. Well, I'm not talking about guns.
Sorry, Brita. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I feel bad.
What was the other thing we were going to talk about?
Oh, was there other stuff?
Weird made something for dinner.
Oh, yeah. It was gross.
Eggplant tell bacon the people or something.
What you did, eggplant weird. Bacon. I saw.
What? I saw
this video online.
Yeah.
And it's the same guy that did the cauliflower fries.
No, oh, that's just wrong.
Oh, what that were guy. You
thinking? Yeah, but he was God. Like, he was like, here's how to spend all day to make something that's not very good. but he. It looked really, really interesting. He took eggplant and sliced it on a mandolin. You slice that eggplant in quarters, slice it on a mandolin, so make it really thin, long strips, essentially strips of bacon, and then dredge it in this. It was like maple syrup, liquid smoke, smoked paprika. A little bit of garlic, soy sauce, and dredge it through that. And Brita, don't knock that. That's the one saving grace of this recipe is I think like the one good thing about that is the taste of that
the marinade.
That marinade because it I suspect that was one of those like oh you put it on a turd and then it'll taste okay. But yeah, I found that so essentially then you bake it in the oven for a fairly long time at a low temperature, which I happened to be cooking ribs at the time. So it worked out beautifully, except it didn't come out beautifully. I couldn't quite get them just right. They either cooked a little too much or not enough. So they were either still kind of wet and floppy or a little too black and carbonized.
And there was still that made just out of that, eggplant.
And that's the bottom line is there was is so this guy was open about saying that this is not replacement for bacon. This is just an interesting way to eat eggplant. And even then it still had that underlying bitter eggplant flavor. And I don't know. I found them not terribly repulsive, but not great. And my wife and daughter hated them.
As they should.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, a pass on the eggplant bacon.
Always a good choice to go with real bacon.
You know what would make it better, though? If what's Rita that? Candied it.
Ooh.
No, jeez. I don't think so.
What's that?
I don't think so. It sounds irredeemable.
Yeah, I think that would detonate.
Well, there's been a major development in the saga of the Oxford comma.
Uh-oh.
You know, a lot of people, there's this big argument about the Oxford comma. And if you don't know what the Oxford comma is, then you're a dumbass and go read about it.
Let's eat grandma. Let's eat grandma.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. There was a court case that hinged on the presence or lack of presence of the Oxford comma. There was a dairy whose drivers sued for overtime, and there's a quirky little state law that said, and I don't remember what state this is anyway, but there was a state law that says that, some of the activities exempt from overtime were the canning, comma, processing, comma, preserving, comma, freezing, comma, drying, comma, marketing, comma, storing, comma, packing for shipment or distribution of agriculture produce, meat and fish products, and perishable foods. The company, because of the word distribution in there, the company said, oh, the delivery drivers don't get overtime. The delivery side driver said, that just says packing for shipment or distribution. So it's the packers that don't get overtime. It doesn't say anything about whether the delivery drivers get overtime. And the judge actually ruled because it was unclear and ambiguous because it didn't have the Oxford comma that he ruled in favor of the drivers. And now the company's out millions of dollars in overtime. So there you go. Use your fucking Oxford comma, people.
Yes.
Ambiguities for people that want to lose millions of dollars.
So tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
Oh, and yeah, Brita.
Friday.
All right.
So Brita, as the child of Irish immigrants,
yes.
How do you feel about First up, do they have St. Patrick's Day in Ireland?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody goes to Mass.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody goes to drink.
Okay.
It's great.
But isn't that just Sunday?
Well, it's special.
Okay.
I don't know. There's no corned beef.
There's no green beer.
There's no green beer.
What about cabbage?
Lots of cabbage. Yeah, there's cabbage.
Oh my God. I went to the grocery store today.
And How cheap is the cabbage?
The amount of cabbage that was there. Like, yeah. I eat a lot of cabbage. I take it, I cut it into wafers, and I roast it.
It's good for you.
And yeah. It's delicious. It's good for you. It's wonderful. You know, I mean, you just shred it up. Like actually the easiest bullshit thing on earth. I mean, number one, they're cheap. Like you can get like 50 pounds of it for a buck.
Yeah, it is really cheap.
You shred it up, put it in a bowl, put like a cup of water in the bottom of the bowl, and then they throw it in the microwave for like 6 minutes. Ta-da! Steamed cabbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like easy. Literally, you have not done shit, and you've got cabbage, and it's delicious. But yeah, no, I did not buy cabbage today because I did not want to be one of those people.
Well, I have to. Okay, somebody on Facebook posted a picture of them making their cabbage for tomorrow, and I'm not going to name names, but they're doing it wrong, and they're sautéing their cabbage with like onions and bacon and. While this might be an excellent way to do cabbage, generally, it is not the way to do it for St. Patrick's Day.
Sautéed cabbage.
How does one do cabbage for St. Patrick's Day?
You boil it. Preferably, you boil it in the water that you had simmered your corned beef in so that it gets like the corned beef.
Wait, I thought you said there was no corned beef.
There's corned beef in the United States. There's no corned beef in Ireland.
So what are they
doing? I mean, there might be now, but... They probably have like, you know, ham or beef. I don't know. It's not like here. Corned beef and cabbage is like really an Irish American thing.
Aren't there more Irish people in the US than there are in Ireland?
Probably Irish descent.
Especially on St. Patrick's Day. Some of them even in Chinese.
Corned beef is a Jewish food. Corned beef is Jewish.
Yes.
And so the reason why corned beef is associated with St. Patrick's Day is because all the Irish immigrants came over and they needed, you know, cheap food and they were living in New York with the Jews and they were like, hey, what's that? And the Jews said, hey, it's good. Cook it with your cabbage and bingo bango, corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day. But it's not really a thing in Ireland. I'm actually maybe ham and cabbage in Ireland. I don't even know. But Guinness. They eat a lot of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day. It's a meal in a glass. But yeah, boil your cabbage with the potatoes and carrots and stuff in the water that you had done your corned beef in. And it comes out delicious.
And then follow it up with your green beer, right?
No green beer. That's just wrong.
What about green whiskey?
No, Jay.
What about like when Boston dyes like the harbor, the river green or something like that?
I think that's Chicago.
Oh, some city does a green
the river, I think, right? Yeah. I don't know. What is that stuff they put in the river?
Or is it just an algae bloom?
They seed
iron in the river to generate the algae bloom.
Phosphorus. Phosphorus is the cause of the crazy algae blooms.
Well, there you go. I bet it would stink too.
Well,
I bet it would really stink. Yeah.
I just always say that if any other culture or race had their culture appropriated like the Irish do on St. Patrick's Day, there would be like riots in the streets
and caricatured and made fun of like the Irish.
The Irish
are like the last people that you can actually make fun of and get away with.
The Italians too.
Not so much.
They've stopped portraying all of us as gangsters.
But they don't have like
have mustaches.
Jay, I have to tell you, I love it when you do your bippity boppity. I love that. That just cracks me up every time.
But
it is for Pamela. But I can't take it.
But the Irish have that. What is like the Irish version of blackface with the leprechaun and the drunk red nosed leprechaun?
I love the Notre Dame mascot. That's the most offensive fucking thing ever. Like you need to have like one of those like creepy like KKK propaganda, like black people with the big white lips and all that eating fried chicken is the Notre Dame logo. Is it's the little short Irish guy with his fists up.
Right.
gonna beat the fuck out of somebody because I'm drunk.
Yeah, and his nose is red and his eyes are bloodshot and he's try that with any other ethnicity and see what happens.
Oh god, like I mean it's one of those like I was just reading up because my daughter suddenly took a liking to Breakfast at Tiffany's. Gross.
Hey,
that's a good movie.
That's awesome. But she's like a call girl in that movie. You may want to wait.
Yeah, but she's not obviously a call girl and certainly not to a 3-year-old.
No, all right. No, she does not get the movie at all. But there's
what
a
does
lot
she
of
bright, like, though?
Just she likes the bright colors and the larger than life characters.
Oh, OK. Yeah,
that movie does have a really good color palette.
Oh, by the way, speaking of inappropriate shit for movies, so today's game, and of course, those who do not have 3-year-olds or younger know that they will find an activity that is that piques their interest, and that one activity will be all that you'll do, like get their hands on a hole puncher and just punch holes and stuff. Or it hasn't happened in a while, but it used to be my daughter would find like you'd open a piece of junk mail and she'd be like, oh, can I have that? And you're like, yeah, go ahead. And she'd take it into her playroom, grab her scissors and turn it into confetti. Just cut everything into shreds because guess what? I've got scissors. I know it is scissors. I'm going to scissor everything. But
she's going to cut her own hair soon.
Has not happened. Has been warned on multiple occasions. Hopefully, knock on wood, it won't happen.
It will happen.
It'll happen.
It will happen.
It'll definitely happen.
The two fathers of older daughters are telling you it's going to happen. Weird. That's
I know it's going to happen. All right. So, I have also introduced her to good Audrey Hepburn movies. So we were playing today, Sabrina. This is a game my daughter invented. Let's play Sabrina. The game Sabrina involves my daughter going into the other room and closing the door and then writing on a piece of paper in little 3-year-old scribble.
Oh my God.
And then sliding the note under the door.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
That's adorable.
Oh, I love it.
Well, except for how well do you remember Sabrina?
Yeah.
What's the note that she's sliding under the door?
Oh, damn it. Sabrina. I don't remember now.
suicide note.
It was it?
Yeah, it's just before she goes into the garage and turns
on
the car.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, that is completely inappropriate. Weird.
I mean, so now the good thing about that is you've got the whole dramatic scene of her choking in the garage with the car exhaust, yeah. Which is good because it's a nice way for me to try to, for all the time, I would always explain to my daughter, she'd just get standing behind the car when the car's running and just standing there and like, sweetie, don't stand behind the car when the car's running. Just, no, the smoke's not good for you. Just get out from behind the car. Come on, let's go. So finally, I'm like,
get your mouth off the exhaust pipe.
Sabrina got sick from breathing the smoke from the cars. Oh yeah, Sabrina got sick from breathing the smoke from the cars. I'm gonna go. So
you have to watch My Fair Lady.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one. She'll like that one.
Ooh, yeah.
That's so good. It's got music, it's got songs.
Yeah, I don't like the music, but
so what? It's not about
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I know it's
she'll love it.
Don't worry. I'm well fucking aware it's not about me. Did you note the fact that I spent like 3 hours today sliding a piece of paper under a door?
A suicide note.
It was. In fact, it was. It was the literally, if I slide this fucking note under the door, I'd kill me.
Oh my God. What's another good one? Oh, Roman man. Holiday is a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
well, there's a whole hair cutting scene in that one, so you may not want to watch that one with her. Right. Yeah. Okay, guys. Good show.
Good show. Yeah. Even though most of it was art, which I knew nothing about.
That's all right.
Because I have literally not a single artistic bone in my body.
Well, you don't have to have an artistic bone.
I don't know, Jay. I saw your artist rendition of an AR-15 barrel.
Don't.
Did you get an NEA grant for that?
I should have. It's performance art. This is what happens when you hand a monkey a wrench.
Oh, Jay, don't call yourself a monkey just because you're black.
I'm just like, oh, it's a little tight. Must have been Loctited on. Oh, fuck.
Were you turning it the wrong way?
No, it was pinned.
Oh, oops.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. And the problem is it's pinned like roughly in the middle. So, you know, as it starts to spin, you see perfectly good threads. And then you get to where the pin was in.
Oh.
Oops. And you go, oh, crap.
Hey, Mike, drink.
Oh, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
You're being recorded.
Everybody take a drink.
But you're not being detained.
Feed the cats.
What? By the Russians?
By the CIA.
Oh,
yeah.
It's by Alexa.
CIA or something.
Say hello to everyone at the agency. Or as those of us in the game call it, the company.
The company.
The company.
All right.
Well, that's a show.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, guys.
We'll probably. Oh.
Next week
is our 5-year anniversary.
That's right. Holy crap.
What's the present supposed to be for 5 years?
I don't
drinking
know. Wood.
Wood. That's right.
More hog.
More wood.
I don't know what we'll do. We'll have to come up with something for our 5-year.
Oh man, we totally need to have a squirrel port knickknack shop, and we need to have wooden pig sculptures that say more hog on them.
Oh man.
Cause come on, there's gotta be like, you see like the internet is all about like t-shirts and things like that. Why can't we get kit knickknacks? let's corner the market on internet.
Cause the internet's not about knickknacks. Weird. It's about porn and cat photos and,
did you know? Did I mention last week that my daughter has a plush Grumpy Cat?
Awesome.
Aww.
Like Grumpy Cat has escaped the internet and exists in reality now.
Cool. When are you getting a real cat?
Never, because I'm allergic to the fucking things.
Yeah, you'll take shots.
And I don't want something shitting in a box and then jumping on my counter.
It's good for your immune system.
I was just gonna say that. So anyway, next week, our 5-year anniversary. 5 years. 5
You guys can
years.
Send me presents. That'd be great.
Yeah, Brita has a wish list on Amazon.
No, don't tell people that.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Do you have a wish list, Brita?
She has a wish list on Amazon. Go buy her stuff.
No, no.
It's at Brownells, and it's all ammo.
There. Thank you, Jay.
Pallets.
That is true. That's true. I mean, everybody knows what calibers we have.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jay specifically has all the calibers.
Are there all of them. Yeah, don't have? Pick one.
Jay doesn't count. He gets his ammo for free.
I don't have 10 millimeter.
You don't have anything 10 millimeter? Sig.
I do not.
I don't have anything 357 SIG either, and I kind of want
it. Merwin, but no, I'm just kidding.
All right, so we're going to hang out now.
41 pin fire.
Okay. We're going to talk about guns. Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Have a good one.